and I will come to that God is going to call us to give up. And it sounds so contrary a little bit from even when I'm saying it, when I'm thinking it. Sometimes you got to give up to go up. You got to give up some stuff to go up higher. I mean, it's contrary to many of us. And I've preached 1,000 messages, never give up, never give in. But today I want to tell you, you got to give up to go up higher. And I thought about it because of the season that some traditions they call Lent. It's that first, that 40 days up till Easter. And there's nothing in the Bible that talks about that. But it is an incredible moment for us to draw near to God and give some energy as to what the Lord would want to do in us during the season, during this time. And as we look towards Easter, as we look towards the cross of Christ, and we see what Christ has done for us, and we realize that, and we refocus our lives to another level that we can see exactly what He has in store for our lives. And many people, they say, well, I don't even know where to start. I've heard all through the week some people, you know, they say, well, I'm going to give up chewing gum. I mean, the sacrifices some people make. Some people say, well, I'm going to give up smoking every day and just to get past Easter and to start all over again. And that's not what God has called us to do. Some people are fasting just for the 40 days because to come alongside with what Jesus did up before the crucifixion. We should always fast. We should always pray. We should always be willing for God to alter our lives and to change us. And, you know, I thought of some things that we could think about. If you're not sure where to start, you could simply renew your focus on Christ during this season. You can make some small commitments, and maybe for some of you, it's time for you to make a major commitment in your life. You've never done that. Maybe for some, it's to engage in a regular devotion before the Lord. And I'm so surprised that some people have no devotion time in their life on a regular basis where they pray, where they seek the Lord at all, where they read the Bible. And that's another one. Begin a Bible reading plan. If you don't have one, you know, start something. Start anything. Get in the Word of God every day. And then to renew a commitment to the things that please God. And what could happen in our lives if we do that? And I love this one definition of Lent. It's to provide that purification by weaning men from sin and selfishness through self-denial, prayer, and by creating in them the desire to do God's will and to make His kingdom come by making it first come in all of our hearts. Letting God have His way in our hearts. And this could be the time of your life. This could be the season of a great release over your life and into your family. This could be the time, because of your obedience, that God would release a level of His glory and His power in your life that you've never known before. I love the story in John chapter 11 where Jesus comes to the tomb of His friend Lazarus and He tells him, roll the stone away. And Lazarus' sister Martha said, don't do it. There'll be a smell. You don't know what you're doing, Jesus. And Jesus says this, and I want to say this to you in John 11, chapter, verse 40. He said, did I not tell you that if you would simply believe, you would see the glory of God? And God has that for some of us today. That if we would just step out and just begin to believe Him like we have never believed Him before. Begin to have faith for things like you never have before. You don't know where God could lead you when you start to step out of that boat and do things like you've never done before. You will never know the level that God will take you when you trust Him with all of your life. You will never know how far He will lead you when you make a statement and take a step that I'm going to go with God all the way. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to trust Him. And what you are willing to walk away from often determines what God will be able to lead you to. You got to give up to go up. And there are 7 weeks or 7 days in a week, and someday is not one of those days. I hear people all the time say, well, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. Really, what day of the week is that anyways? It's not. Someday may never come. And what you and I have to do is right now. This is a right now moment for somebody here today. That you've been waffling, you've been wondering, should I do this, should I do that? And I want to encourage you today, you got to give something up to go up higher today. You got to let something go in your life to go up higher today. For some of you, it's giving up your history. You can't go forward in life if you're always focused on the rearview mirror of your life. If you want to lead the orchestra, you'll have to turn your back on the crowd. I love that statement. You got to go where God has called you to go. You cannot wait for the validation of the crowd when God says to you, today is the day. It's time for you. And it may never go, and it may never rhyme with everybody else around you. But how many of you know, when God says it's you, it's your time, you must step out. You must go. For some of you, you're waiting for something to change about the way you feel about your life. Well, I just don't feel this. And your old nature would always try to creep up. Even though God has given you great victory in your life, something inside of you continually tells you and whispers in your ear, you'll never be that. You can't do that. You'll never accomplish this. But can I tell you what the Bible says today in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, he begins to make all things brand new to you. And God is changing some of your lives today. He's rearranging when you step out and when you believe him like you have never trusted and never believed him before. He will begin that transformation process in your life. And he'll move you from glory to glory. He'll take you from little. He'll move you to big. He'll let you see small miracles. And then he'll take you and show you a miracle, a miraculous thing that you never thought you would ever see in your life. But that, come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around for Jesus. That will never happen until you make the decision to give up some of that old history. Give up what people have said about you. Give up where you used to go and what you used to do. Give that up so that you can go up higher and do what God has called you to do in your life. Some of you, you need to give up what people think about you and what they've said about you and what they continually say about you. When I was a young man and I'd given my heart to Christ, I've told this story before, I'll never forget going with my girlfriend then, she's my wife now, praise the Lord, went to her aunt's house, and her aunt, I'll never forget her sitting in a chair, and she said, "Hello, Aunt Ruth, this is my boyfriend, Marty," and the lady looks at me and she goes, "What's your last name?" And I said, "McDonald." She goes, "Oh, I know who you are." She says, "He's an alcoholic." I said, "I am?" She goes, "I knew your father and I knew your grandfather, and they were alcoholics, and so aren't you." And I looked at her back then, 17, 18 years old, and I thought to myself, am I going to be identified with this the rest of my life? And that didn't change until I began to look at myself different. And I said some things to her that wouldn't be appropriate right now. Praise the Lord. You got to give up your history so you can go up to a place that God has called you to go. You got to give up the weight in your life that some of you are carrying around. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Therefore, also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us cast off or lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." God has a race for you and I to run in. But for some, you have been carrying a weight in your life that has held you back from even seeing where the finish line could be. Even keeping you from entering into the race that God has called you to run. For some of you, you have gifting and calling in your life to do something and to allow something to transpire because of the vision that God has placed in your life that you will never see happen as long as you're always carrying that weight around in your life. And God says to you and I today that we need to release that weight. We need to give up that way of that sin that so easily ensnares us and come to the cross of Jesus Christ and know that the blood that was shed at Calvary is more than enough to take away your sin and mine forever. And to take away not only the sin, but to take away the power that it has over our lives. For some of you, it may be a negative attitude that you're carrying around in your life. For some of you, it could be bitterness towards someone else, and it's bogging you down. For some of you, it could be the propensity of an addiction of some sort. And God is there to help you to be free from that, and you not trusting Him fully to have His way in your life. For some of you, it may be right in your own home, right in your own household. You've lost that love and feeling, and God wants to bring that back into your life. You've got to lay aside the weight that continually pulls you down. And my prayer is today that you won't walk out of this building just carrying the same weight that you came in with. That you'll be free of that. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, "Too often we're like children who settle for playing in mud puddles when the beauty and immensity of the ocean are just a few feet away." The ocean is just a few steps away from some of you. Oh, I feel like God is working in this house right now. You got to give that weight up so you can go up higher in Him. And then this last point I just want to tell you today. You got to give up the attitude of resentment in your life. For some of you that are always, you're just mad at somebody all the time. You're hurt. You're unable to forgive people. You hold on to stuff. You have gotten to be classic in your ability to keep hindrances and hurts and pain and unforgiveness about things that people have done to you, have said to you, have not done. You have to give up that power of resentment in your life if you're ever going to go up to the place that God has called you to. I love this quote by a man by the name of Lewis Smedes. He says, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you." Is that prisoner you? You know, Christians get good at this when they get older, you know? I shared with you a week or two ago. I was on a trip. Maybe I didn't share it here. Maybe I shared it over to St. Anthony's. I don't know. And these people, and I was just telling my wife this week, because I'm working on this in my life. If you irritate me, and I get irritated, I'm just human. I'm just flesh. I get irritated. I get bugged. You irritate me. I'm not necessarily, I've refined over the years. And God brought me to this a few weeks ago. He really began to do a work in me, work at my heart. If something happens like that, I don't necessarily get mad at you. I just kind of do this. I just kind of back away. Now, he's backed away from me. He's mad at me. No, I'm not. I can't think of anybody I'm upset at. I don't get upset. Get upset if I don't get my coffee. But I've had Dunkin' Donuts, and I've had a black eye this morning. That's a regular coffee with two shots of espresso. So I am healthy right now. Praise the Lord. Dr. Tom, there's some warm water out there for you after service. That's an inside joke. But I was at this event, and I was asked to speak, and I was speaking. And after I was done, these people, they were upset at me. I didn't know why. And don't try to figure it out, please. Just listen to the story. Listen to my vulnerability right now. I called them when I got back, because I didn't want to get into it then. And oh, they said, you know, yeah, we were upset because so-and-so, they were going to go. And it was poor planning and poor leadership on their part. Man, when they told me that, I just like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? And I just, backed away. And then I get a call, and these same people want me to come, and they want me to speak. You know what my first thought was? I ain't going. I didn't even pray. And then I felt the Lord say, "Did you ask me?" I said, "No, Lord, I don't need your answer on this. I know what the answer is." And I prayed. He said, "I want you to go because you've got to face that is becoming a debilitating factor in your life." I know I'm the only one here that deals with that. And so I did, and I called, and I said, "Yes." And it opened up a dialogue, and I asked the Lord to help me with it. And guess what happened? He helped me. And He wants you and I to forgive and to live a life free of resentment. Some of you are thinking about some things right now. You're thinking about people. Some of the people that have known the Lord for the longest deal with this, have the hardest time with this. So you say, "You mean, Pastor, I thought the longer you know the Lord, the more spiritual you become." Yeah, and the more savvy you become to hide your sin and your proclivities. And the Lord never called you and I to be savvy in covering up. He called you and I to be open and honest. Why? Why do I have to forgive? Because Jesus tells me to. In Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And Jesus says, "I'm forgiven when I forgive others." In Matthew 6:14 and 15, if you forgive other people when, everybody say when. Say it again like you mean it. Say when. It's not if, it's when. People are going to sin against you. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, and you're not going to get around that scripture. You can spiritualize all you want. You are not leaving today without having this scripture adhered to your heart. If you don't forgive others their sins, your Father, that's God, your Heavenly Father, does not forgive your sins. Ooh, where'd that theology come up from? The Word of God. I forgive so that God still hears my prayers. Oh, I just felt the Lord just stop me here and say, some of you, you're mad at God for what's happened in your life. You're mad at God. You didn't get what you thought you had coming, or you got more than you planned for. And God says, I work all things out for the good to them that love me and are called according to my purpose. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. For that is the heritage of the servants of the Lord Most High. God is for you. 1,000 may fall at your right, 10,000 at your left. It'll not come nigh your dwelling. Greater is He that's inside of you than he that is in the world. All these things are true, but does it stop it when difficulty and challenges and heartache comes to you? They will come. But God is there on your side to lift you up through it. Come on today. You can't get mad at God. You know when Patty, when we heard she had breast cancer, I've said this before, people came up to me, "Where's your God now? Where's my God? He's never been closer to us. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." When you are in the darkest, deepest despair of your life, He's never been closer to you than He is at that moment. To lift you out of that and to bring peace and hope that nothing could give. You can't get it out of a bottle or a bag or a package. You can get it through the cross and the love of our Savior, Jesus. You can't get mad. You can get mad, but you can't stay mad at Him. He won't let you. He loves you that much. Come on. And I forgive so that my prayers are not hindered. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. Woo, my goodness. I read this statistics, forgiveness, how it's good for your health. Some of you are sick because you're mad at everybody. You're upset. You're holding it back. And some of you are good at covering it up. But let me tell you something. It's making you look old. You know, George Shoke told me this morning, he won't mind. He's 78 years old. I said, come on, you're lying to me. That guy looks like 50. He's not mad at nobody. Forgiveness is good for your health. Research shows that when you forgive, you have decreased anxiety. You think so? You'll have decreased depression. You think? Decrease in negative thoughts. Decrease vulnerability to substance use and abuse. Lower blood pressure. And then I thought I'd add a few myself. You'll lose weight, get younger and stronger, be better looking, and be happier than you ever have been before. How many of you want that? Come on. You got to give up the unforgiveness so you can go up to where He has called you to go. You got to give up your history. You got to let go of some of that stuff in your past. Let it go. Move on. Give it up. You got to give up. Some of you got weights in your lives. You're carrying around things. You're engaged in things that are hurting you. And then for some of you, and I'm talking to Christians today, this is a new time. And as we're in this season right now, as we're moving towards Easter, I'm going to talk about this. When we come to that day, and maybe, hopefully, it'll come before that. For some of you that have just been good at carrying around resentment and unforgiveness and heartache and hurt towards someone, well, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. And you're right. I don't know. I don't know. But I know God does. And I know He's here to help you and to lift you up more than you have ever known before. Come on. Can you believe that? Do you receive that today in the name of Jesus? Come on. Thank you, God. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I want some of the prayer people to come down to the altar right now. Listen to me. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you've never given your life to Christ, you can't even comprehend some of the things that I'm saying to you. The Bible says that the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit. The Bible says unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't understand the things that I'm talking to you about right now until you make Christ the Lord and the Master of your life. And today is that day for you. It's not someday. It's today. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Just for a minute. I'm going to be done here in about 90 seconds. Some of you today, you've given your life to Christ, but things haven't been right. You've gone through pain, disappointment. And you've put God off to the side, and He is speaking to you directly right now, telling you, I want to come in. I want to be a part of your life. Today is the day for you to renew that with Him. You can come down, you can pray with these people, and they'll help you in that area of your life. Some of you today, you thought everything was good, but when I talked about resentment and unforgiveness, somebody's face came to your mind. A name came to you. He wants to help you with that today. You don't have to tell everybody all the details of that, but you have to go to God with that and ask Him to help you. Today is your day. I want to pray for you. And when I end praying for you, if you need prayer for any of these things, if you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to come down. One of these people, they're going to pray for you. You can accept Jesus, can know eternal life. If you're away from Him today, if you've just kind of found yourself moving in a direction away from Him, you can come down. These people will pray for you and get back on track. you're here today and there's something you need to give up. You don't even have to tell them what it is. You just say, hey, will you help? Will you pray with me? I need help in this area of my life. And when I end my prayer today, before you leave, I want you just to come down. Let God work. Let him minister. Let him bring hope and healing into your heart and into your life. Father, there's going to be several that are going to come this morning. God, I thank you for this moment in our lives that you have orchestrated, that your will be done here, that you will do something so beautiful in the lives. There's a father and a husband here today that is holding resentment and anger over something that's happened in their past, and it's having a direct result on your family today. You might not even know why things are going on in your home, but God is laying his finger on that area of your life today. Maybe it's a weight. Dads, you need to get it right with God. I pray, Lord, for each and every person, from the youngest to the oldest, every man, woman, boy, girl here, God, that you would give them the opportunity to make things right with you in this house right now. I pray your favor. I pray great hope and great peace upon every life today. Lord, I pray that you will bless your people as they rise up, as they walk in the way, whatever they lay their hands to. I pray that it will be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Man, I love you. I thank God for you. If you need prayer, I want you to come down here today. We're going to pray over you. Believe God for his best. Go in God's grace today. I love you so much.